The place for news, views, and entertainment the way you like it. RantEMRadio.com. The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here. Thanks for tuning in and listening to The Shining Wizards. Proudly available at ShiningWizards.com and on the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to subscribe, like, rate, and review us on whatever platform you listen to us on, including iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, Audioboom, and so many more. If you shop at Amazon, visit Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and click on your country's banner. Do your shopping as usual, pay the same low prices as always, and a portion of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy Shining Wizards t-shirts, visit ShiningWizards.com/merch or a link to our Pro Wrestling Tees store and select from dozens of great designs. Follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Wizards Podcast. If you'd like to check out our videos, visit YouTube or Dailymotion and search The Shining Wizards. The Shining Wizards airs live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. East at RantEMRadio.com or SWLive.net. From all of us at The Shining Wizards, we thank you for your continued support.
Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Now, that's not just the coolest. That's not just the best. Shining Wizards Podcast. Now, that's just incredible.
I have a small dick.
God damn! Woo!
The rain has been falling steadily here in the Northeast.
Oh.
But of course, today we get a reprieve. No rain in sight.
No Matt in sight.
Which means that someone is slinging the pizzas somewhere in Hoboken. Which is nice, because that means the Shining Wizards present the two-man group.
Woohoo!
Live in Studio A on RantEMRadio.com. Wrestling talk?
Talk about wrestling.
I'm Tony!
Kevin is here as well in
What's
a chair.
Up? What's up, brother?
Not much, man.
Hey, wait. You didn't introduce yourself the correct way.
Oh, Shining Wizards, Kevin.
No, podcast star extraordinaire.
Why do you keep doing that?
The star, because I want people to listen to that show, man.
Yes, please do listen.
I'm trying to get your ears, bro.
We gotta do what we gotta do here. I'll plug it when the time is right.
I will plug it.
But we are the Shining freaking Wizards.
I understand. But you're also the Kevin the dumb fella.
That's true.
Well, you're like the leader of the dumb fellas. Does that mean you're the dumb?
Yeah,
kinda. Although I must nitpick, you were in charge of the introduction festivities a couple episodes ago.
I have no idea, dude.
The only person you introduced was Burke. No one else
because
got an
intro. You think we go off the rails here? Like, on that show, we go off the rails. Like, and they've decided that they want me to be the one now to direct
because
the traffic.
You're
now
the star, dude.
No. Because I guess, I don't know.
No.
Listen. First of all, Natty Bumper Car is the glue that holds that thing together. KP Burke arguably will probably be the most successful one out of all of us. Joe Carney and Rich McDonald have an amazing following, but Rich is, a 50%er. He'll be there when he can, and he has a busy life. And Joe Carney is just the man of a million voices.
The man who will not be my friend on Facebook.
Did you request him?
Yes, of course I did.
All right, I'll speak to him.
No. I don't need any favors. Because then I'm going to owe the dumb fellas a favor.
No, you won't. You've already done enough for us.
The fucking mafia.
Putting us on
there.
The network. Putting us, giving us links on the Shining Wizards Network next to Nigel McGuinness and
right,
the Shining Wizards.
Yes, please listen to Nigel McGuinness's podcast. Please, I beg of you. The poor guy could use some listeners over there.
So, I don't know. They just like the way that I, I'm sure he's hurting for listeners on his show.
I think he needs people to kind of like help him out because it's not, and I've said this a million times, it's not a wrestling podcast.
Of course not.
It's a relationship podcast, and I think he's at a bit of a crossroads when it comes to his personal life, which he talks about on the podcast, so it's not like I'm breaking down any walls here.
Right.
I mean, it's just a fact. So go over there and listen to him. Send him an email. Give him some encouragement. Give him a cheerio or oi oi.
He tells all about his real self on that show.
Yes, it's absolutely. I mean, and it's really like he won't even mention wrestling. He'll be like, just got back from a busy week, you know. So like it's like pretty much like he had interviews with people from wrestling on like, you know, earlier on in the show, but now it's pretty much just him and his relationship with his kid's mother and his kid, you know?
That's pretty deep.
It really is, dude. It really is.
So
now that we got all the plugs out of the way.
Check out Nigel McGuinness's podcast, check out the Dumb Fellas podcast, yes. My Unconventional Life and Dumb Fellas podcast.
That's
so
right.
There man. It is.
Kevin knows what's going on in the Shining Wizards Network. I like
trying. I'm trying, man.
I'm like that prick that does fucking sit here. He's slinging pizzas.
Yeah, you fucking...
I don't know shit. I don't listen to shit. Fuck y'all, y'all.
That's usually... No, that's me. That's still,
you?
That's still me. I don't listen to shit.
Yeah, but you're adorable. Matt's a jerk.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point.
You know, no homo, but, you know.
Ladies love me.
Speaking of no homo, the ever very masculine, manly, will rip your face off, the Heavy Metal Maniac will be joining us tonight at the 8 o'clock hour. What, you like that intro?
No, it's fantastic. I just want to know how many people, like, outside our core network in the East Coast.
Well, all right, I get where you're going, but he was on Matt's birthday bonanza.
I remember.
And he was very...
I booked him.
He was very endearing to a lot of people.
At your behest, I got him.
Well, at Matt's behest, of course, he's not here tonight. We booked him again.
Wow, no, the irony of that is
it's
ridiculous.
It's going to be a good time. But I tell you this much. The ECPW guys, out of everyone else, they really know how to self-promote. It was the same thing when we had Andrew Anderson on.
I agree with you on that.
When I'm like, yo, you feel like coming on the show this week? You know, we got a spot. You want to come? Dude, it's like, yes, here's my number. Here's 45 pictures of me from over the years. Here's a video montage for my Hall of Fame induction. Here's this, that, and the other thing. It's like they give you an entire press kit. It's like,
right,
you're having me on. Here's some shit about me if you want to use it.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not shortchanging what he's done.
No, it's amazing. I enjoy it. I think more people need to do that, you know? You know how many shitty pictures we have on the past guest page because I can't find decent pictures of some of our past guests? Take a look through it. I mean, look, no offense to Ryan Wing. But
yeah, I don't know where you got... Listen. I don't know where you get... Like even guys like the Graysons, who are, again, that's a random thing, ECPW names, and also WrestlePro and all that stuff. You pick a picture, I send you like three or four promo shots, and you pick one from like 6 years ago when they were watching wrestling on their couch. Like, when they were scrolling through the Attitude Era, that's the picture you picked for them.
Ugh.
And like Flip Gordon, like you call, like when we had Flip Gordon on, you still call him Travis Gordon.
So what?
He's Flip Gordon.
He's Travis Flip Gordon. I knew him when he was Travis. Just like I knew Cauliflower Brown when he was Chase Brown.
But Flip Gordon is now...
Like,
I don't
Matt's
know.
Like, hey,
something's going on with my voice. I don't know what it is.
Guess
the
who's
sugar
on the line? Cauliflower Brown. I'm like, who the fuck? I'm like, oh, Chase? Okay. Now I know
Flip
who it is.
Gordon has been, for the last year and a half or so, been on the steadiest rise to probably superstardom that you could possibly imagine.
Steady?
Involved.
Okay.
Right now, recently, in probably one of the most high-profile non-WWE storylines in the world.
Okay.
And now he's on our website, Travis Gordon.
Well, you know what? It really gets to be a pain in the ass because I do want to keep people's names straight. Like, you do have a lot of situations where people get new names when they go to WWE. So, like, if you look at Kurt Hawkins, it also says Brian Myers, like, you know, a.k.a. Kurt Hawkins. Something like that. Like Brodus Clay. I'll have, you know, like Tyrus, a.k.a. Brodus Clay. Something like that. And it's an even bigger pain in the ass when you're trying to put them in alphabetical order. Do you go by Clay? Do you go by Tyrus? You know what I'm saying? So it's not easy sometimes deciphering how things need to go on the past guest page, considering the fact that we have nearly 300 past guests at this point.
That's a good point.
You know?
Again, I'm not throwing shade or anything like that. I just find it comical sometimes when I see you post the pictures of certain people that you post.
Did you like Ryan Wing's like fro? Oh, he's got poofy hair. Must have been right after a match.
First of all, he looks completely different than from when I remember him. But again, that was also 20 years ago.
Well, he was also probably, you know, much better ring shape as opposed to just being
he was a skinny guy.
No, he
was the guy that I looked at and was like, all right, well, at the time when I still had that little pipe dream of like maybe one day being a wrestler. And you had it. If you're a fan, you always had that one moment in your life where you thought like,
yeah,
maybe I should give it a shot.
I had it for like a year.
That's right.
And I said, so like, fuck this.
And then you think of yourself like, oh no, I can't do it. I'm like, look at me, look at the size of me. And then you see a guy like Ryan Wing.
Yeah, but Ryan also bulked up. Like,
no,
he started
did.
Getting into great ring shape
no,
too.
Again, don't get me wrong, but again, I'm looking at this from like a teenager's point of view, like a 12, 13, 14-year-old looking at a guy who looks kind of like me.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, no, I get
and
you.
I was in better shape when I was a kid, too. Like, I was always skinny, but
yeah,
I was...
pretty good shape.
I was always okay.
Doing like, those 12-ounce curls every night.
That's right. God damn it.
So I've been in touch with Ryan Wing. He wants to come back on the show. He was a little busy this week, but he's going to... We'll bring him back for you.
No. I mean, again, it was... I thought... The amount of time was perfect for my birthday show.
Oh, for
show.
The birthday show, absolutely.
I thought it was absolutely perfect,
but
and I got to mark
is,
out and stuff like that. Now, if I want to dive deep in the wrestling talk with him, I'm sure he could go.
Oh, absolutely. But that's the thing. Like, we booked these birthday shows, and, we just did this for the first time this year for the four of us. So you're talking, like, if there's 10 guests, that's 40 guests that we're pretty much only getting for maybe 20 minutes at the most.
At the very most, especially the most recent ones. Who was the first? Eddie?
Matt was. We booked Matt.
Matt was the first.
And then Eddie, and then me, and then you were the last
one.
Yeah.
And this is why, like, Matt loves the idea, and it's a great
idea. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, and Matt, God bless him, he wants the rundown, like, so it's like 10 minutes. You got 10 minutes here.
Oh, yeah, he's
8
nuts.
Minutes here.
He's
10
nuts.
Minutes. And I wouldn't change it for anything because every single person that we had on my show was absolutely fantastic. It's just a lot to do, and it's a lot to like. He goes above and beyond the Call of Duty,
yeah,
dude.
But I mean, for everybody like Candace or KP, which is a great few minutes with those guys. There's somebody like Road Warrior Animal,
right?
That you'd love to spend an hour or two with,
And then
so it kind of balances out. But in the meantime, we only do this once a week. Matt's not doing the solo shows anymore like he liked to do.
Right.
Probably just doesn't have time or maybe just, not interesting anymore. I don't, whatever. But so if we're only doing it once a week, that's like if we want to book every one of those guests that we want to bring back, that's booking out the show for 6 months.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It is.
There's people from my birthday show. I'm sure there's people, Matt's birthday show was last November. We're just bringing Metal Maniac back on now. And it's August.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
I didn't. You know what? The time really does fly if that's the case because I thought it was much sooner than that.
That's what I thought. I'm like, oh, when did we have him back on? In March? I'm like, no shit. It was November.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is.
So the Metal Maniac, ECPW Glory, a lot of other great stories, a lot of history there. He'll be.
And he's on the network. He's on the WWE Network. He wrestled in Eastern Championship Wrestling. So make sure you go check that out.
That's right.
It's quite interesting for history.
Was he the Metal Maniac?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Was there ever any doubt that
did
he was the Metal
Did he
Maniac?
Ever go by any... Or I guess I can ask him that. If he ever went
probably
by anything
wiki
else.
Wiki it up, but I don't
know. No, I'll ask him that. Why not? It's an honest question that I don't know the answer to.
And the great thing is he's back in Hawaii now, and he wanted to do like a video kind of thing, but unfortunately we're not set up for that. Son of a bitch wanted to do like a show from the beach, having like a pina colada, maybe surfing while we fucking talk to him. That'd be cool as shit. Something different to try, just so we can't handle it tonight.
No, we definitely can't do that.
Well, it is what it is.
But
Metal Maniac coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. In the meantime, do we want to talk about this weekend's activities, or do we want to just go right into the big news of yesterday?
I think you got to go right into the lead.
All right, well,
listen,
there you go.
You know what's sad? And it's not. Sad? I don't know if "sad" is the right word for it.
Probably not. But continue.
But like, Impact Wrestling put on an amazing show, an absolutely fantastic pay per view that I watched today. And what I think the bigger story is WWE announcing an all female pay per view.
Well, yeah, I guess.
And I'm gonna show my work, and
which is what we like on this show.
And I'm gonna show my work, but I'm also gonna. First, let me ask your opinion, because I guess it's my nature now as I'm getting older, is immediately play devil's advocate and immediately play spoiler or negative Nancy on it.
Okay.
But I want to ask you, what were your thoughts when you first officially heard the announcement that they are making an all-female pay-per-view event?
My honest, true thoughts. My honest first thought, I'm glad it's not just a pay-per-view model anymore. Because I don't know if a pay-per-view of all women would sell.
You are 100% on my same wavelength.
There you go.
100%.
Now, let's caveat this because I'm sure we're thinking the same thing. It has nothing against the women that are going to be on the show.
I'm happy for them.
And they've got a lot of great stuff booked without even having names in those spots yet. So it's going to be like your top four or five matches are going to be stacked matches. However, the whole
show should be stacked, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm sure.
You know what
it will
I mean?
I mean, it's going to be across all three brands.
And they're saying over 50 women, so you got to figure there's going to be some sort of battle royal or something on there, right?
Or even if they bring back some of the legends, God help them if they make Kelly wrestle. You know, God help them.
Let's table Kelly for a second.
Okay. Anyway. Oh, we're going to get back to her? She's an exhibitionist.
No, for after the show.
Anyway. Glass table?
Mirrors.
So, yeah, I just hope. I mean, I'm going to check it out just because I have the network.
Right.
If I was a paying man, I don't know if I'm paying for it. Then again, I also was not really paying for a lot of pay-per-views to begin with.
I think we're on the same exact page in terms of now because of the... And again, this is not insulting them. This is no disrespect. This is not slight. It's just like, is it the case of, for lack of a better term, too little, too late?
I don't know about that.
And again, let me show my work here. If this WWE can basically put whatever they want, whenever they want, on the network.
Yeah.
So if the pay-per-view model, would it mean more if the actual traditional pay-per-view model was still around? If they gave them this chance when there were still pay-per-views?
Yeah. Well, that was the big first question.
Because you have, I'm sorry to cut you had the Mae Young Classic.
Yeah.
You have all this stuff. Like you've given them the showcase that they've rightfully deserved.
And the numbers must have been good enough on those shows to justify doing something.
I didn't even think about that. That's fair.
And it's in Long Island. They're going to draw a lot of people to the Nassau Coliseum.
And here's
regardless.
The other thing about Long Island, though. Did they strategically pick an arena that clearly has less seats than every place else in the world?
I don't know. I think
because when they redid that place, the place only fits like maybe 12,000-13,000.
Well, maybe it's just that they want to bring something back there. I don't know. I mean,
I think they still run. That might not be fair of me because I think they still run regular shows there, like Raws and SmackDown. So I think that might not be fair of me to put that into the equation.
It's different than the Garden and the Barclays Center because they're so close in proximity. Nassau Coliseum, it's a ride. You got to hike to get out there. So, and plus, you know, not a lot of people from Long Island are probably going to come in to check out the Garden or, you know, Brooklyn anyway.
I think everyone that's a wrestling fan will watch it.
Oh, I'm definitely going to check it out.
I will 100% watch it. The question is, though, will they be able to sell 10,000 tickets?
Well, here's the thing that they have in their favor. As much as I like to shit on Stephanie and the McMahon family in general when they do their gimmicky shit, there was not a more perfect sell for that show than what they did opening the show last night.
100% agree.
Like, they put their heart into it. It felt like it was coming from a place of sincerity.
Like every other announcement they've done since. Every single way they've done to boost this division, announcement-wise, has been 100% heartfelt and legit and emotional.
Well, but here's the other thing. It's different when you're saying, Royal Rumble, I get. That you can feel like, okay, the women deserve a shot at that. But they pigeonholed a lot of shit. They pigeonholed Hell in a Cell. They pigeonholed Elimination Chamber. Like, they did a lot of shit with matches that didn't need to happen. You know what I'm saying? But this feels more generic. Like, hey, okay, why not? Let's, you know, like, you guys have been doing such a great job. We're gonna take our chance. We're gonna give you your own show.
Devote a whole night to just you.
Yeah. Which is weird, because if they had the men come forward and say, we're giving a show to you guys. But then again, this could also be lip service to give it back to the women, to give them something to make up for the Saudi Arabia debacle. Just saying.
They still got paid for that, though.
I don't know if they did. There was a lot of conflicting evidence on that.
I read that they did.
I also read that that wasn't a true story, so who knows who to believe on that one. All right, even if they did or not, this is still something special.
It is, and that should not be taken away from them. I'm sure Matt is like, stop talking about women's wrestling.
Fuck him anyway. He talked about Slammiversary, though. He actually enjoyed the women's matches on that show, but we'll get into that.
We'll get into that later. But just to, like, I mean, I don't want to tie a bow on it or anything like that, because it's still like a first time ever thing. And if you look down the card, there's a lot of, and this could also be a rebirth of a lot of the female talent that have been just kind of hanging around and not really in anything.
This would be perfect for somebody like a Jazzy or a Mercedes Martinez
to come back and have
exactly
a piece
of, and to showcase like the new signees like Io Shirai
or even
Io Shirai.
I don't know
how to pronounce it.
Is that the Stardom person?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
But just like on a more mainstream level, like a Becky Lynch, who has just kind of been there, like a Naomi, who's pushed to the moon, and now is just, they need something else for them to do, and building up feuds on SmackDown and Raw and NXT for this show should be fun. And the fact that this is in their future for the summer and for the beginning of the fall, it's going to create more interest because they're going to earn a spot on the card of something that's never happened before.
And I don't want this to be Ronda Rousey's coming out party either. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want this to be just a showcase to put the championship on her.
Here's
you know?
The thing that you have to consider now, going back to the whole, will they sell? Will they do this? Will they draw?
Oh, gotcha.
Do they have to make Ronda Rousey beat Alexa Bliss and go in as the champion there? Or do they have to make her, would a Ronda Rousey Alexa Bliss rematch?
Now, is Ronda taking her on in SummerSlam?
Yes, that is confirmed.
Oof. Yeah, that's tough.
New York.
What do you do with that? It's going to be interesting.
And I believe it or not, as much as we rag on them and we can't stand watching Raw sometimes, I do have faith that they will not screw this up.
I mean, it would be really hard for them to screw it up. Even if it's a run-of-the-mill, middle-of-the-road show, I would think it would be a success.
Now, here's the thing. Do they... I think next year, WrestleMania in New York, the money match is Ronda Rousey-Charlotte. For whatever, which championship, if they want to move one to the other, whatever, I don't know how they do that.
Okay.
To me, that is the money match at WrestleMania. Now, do they feel like, because I guess this show transcends all brands, do they decide to hotshot that and put it on this show? Like, do you not see, am I the only one that sees Ronda Rousey and Charlotte as the most marquee match in women's wrestling?
No, the story is, how do you get there? How do you get there now?
You have a few months.
Oh, I mean, they got maybe more than a few months.
Maybe they do something where they reach out and say, like, Steph, you know, Triple H, Vince, we want, this match has to happen. Like, maybe there's some interaction on, like, a press conference for the show or something like that.
Or they've been doing a lot of shenanigans with her being suspended. Maybe eventually she reaches the breaking point and they say, get lost.
That's very good.
And then, you know, whoever's in charge of SmackDown now, Daniel
Page.
Oh, Paige, that's right. By the way, as an aside, completely aside, Paige is looking much more like her delicious self lately. She's been getting herself back in shape.
When she was never out of shape.
Oh, come on. Come on, Kev. Come on.
Paige here.
Come on, dude. I have to give credit where credit's due. She's taking her health seriously again, and I applaud her for that.
We don't know that she never wasn't.
Oh, come on.
What do you mean?
I'm just eating a couple extra power bars, I am. No, I don't want to shit on Paige all night, but I wanted to bring that up last week, that bravo. She's looking much more delicious again.
So while I don't have 100%, like, I will watch it, obviously. But I'm not going to go out to Long Island to go see it.
Oh, no, definitely not.
Even though it's not that awful of a trip. It's an hour.
I am not even... I'm really considering not going to WrestleMania this year. Like, I really have no desire to go there.
Is it because it's wrestling or you just don't like...
I don't... It's an entire, like...
Oh, I'm with you.
I want to go to the Ring of Honor New Japan show. Like, I want to go to that. Like, that might be my wrestling for the weekend. And then Sunday... I know Matt was talking like, oh, maybe just go to the stadium, you know, chill out in the parking lot, hang out for the pre-show, and then just leave. I don't know if I want to do that.
Wait, you still have to go into the stadium for the pre-show?
No, no. You know, tailgate.
The pregame.
That's what
the pregame.
I mean. Yes,
the pregame. The tailgate.
Sorry. Yes, Jesus. Yeah. Oof. But I would. I'm definitely down to go to Ring of Honor, New Japan. Definitely down for that, because I think that's going to be history making right there.
I agree. Man, this is so tough. Just cause...
I know that's, but I don't feel like sitting at MetLife for 8 hours again, dude. Like, if the show doesn't end till like, look, was it on the network when we went? No, it was still on pay-per-view when we went 6 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they had to end by 11 o'clock. Now, fuck, they can go as long as they want. Although I think there's a midnight curfew they have to shut down. But still, you're going to be there from like 4 to midnight, not to mention like the tailgating. That's a long fucking day, dude. That's long fucking day.
I'd leave and go sleep in the car. Before it was over,
I would fucking beat the traffic,
you know what,
dude.
I would probably, I guess because it's on the network and I can watch it anytime I want.
Yep.
I probably wouldn't. I would still go. I'm probably still going to go. But I won't care about missing the 5 to 7 o'clock or the 5 to 8 o'clock.
Oh, no. You see, with me, I'd rather miss the main event. I'd rather be like, fuck that noise.
I mean,
like 9 o'clock, I'd be like, I'd be old man. Like, I've got to get out of here.
See, I would make myself not be old man by getting there later and catching the more important stuff.
Is any of it really important?
I mean, is anything ever really important? Is what we're doing right now really important?
If you, I mean, are we talking about going to Raw the next
No,
night?
I'm not. No.
Because that's going to be Prudential Center this time.
No, it's no.
Yeah.
Aren't they? They're all at Barclays.
Wait. So they're going to do...
They did it last... Oh, wait, no. I'm thinking... Maybe I'm thinking SummerSlam.
Maybe
I'm
thinking
SummerSlam.
Yeah. Do that? I mean, I would think you'd want to go to Newark and not back to the city, right?
I don't know what they're doing for that.
Oof. We have to...
You know what? I think they might actually not even be in the tri-state area.
That's fucked.
They might be in, like, D.C. or some shit like that.
Really? That's pretty wild.
Don't even remotely quote me on that. But I don't think...
Wild. That's wild.
Oh, yeah, the last time they were there, we were at the Meadowlands after.
What year is this WrestleMania? Is this 35?
I don't know. 2019. Just put.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's the easier way to do it. Type. Vivid Seats.
Might be like Philly or.
Would WWE.com have this listing or no?
I don't know. Just, I mean, I'm sure that.
And there's not even a Come on, where's Wikipedia where we need
one?
All
right, hold on, I'm doing it. This is podcast gold. But this it's important. It is important to know.
It's important shit, dude.
I don't think it is at Prudential, though. Unless they haven't announced. They had to have announced.
Oh, wait. I clicked on MetLife Stadium. I don't want MetLife Stadium. Get out of here. Oh, shit. Manchester versus Liverpool's coming here?
Fucking A.
That's tomorrow.
Hello.
Fuck. The wife's going to be pissed about that. Traffic time. WrestleMania 35 will be held at MetLife Stadium in the New York / New Jersey area. Another big this and that. Who gives a fuck? Oh, Ronda Rousey. She looks delicious in this picture, actually. She's at the press conference.
They haven't announced it yet.
I would imagine they have. I don't know. You know what? Whatever. It is what it is. We can figure that out.
I mean, I Googled Raw after WrestleMania 2019.
And it says, go fuck yourself.
All right, so here we go. Let's go.
No, forget it. Don't worry about it.
Where was WrestleMania last year?
New Orleans, I would imagine. It's either New Orleans or New Jersey.
What is WrestleMania?
What does it mean to me? It means everything, Kevin.
No, this is still 2018.
No, because it's going to be Barclays, and what are they doing in the Hall of Fame? Barclays as well? So it's going to be NXT on Sunday. It's on Saturday. It's going to be Hall of Fame on Friday. Then they're coming to MetLife on Sunday.
Right.
Unless they keep it set up and they do Raw at Barclays
they
on Monday.
They probably will.
Because last time the Meadowlands was still open when they were here 6 years ago.
Yeah.
That son of a bitch didn't close till 2014, which was, what, the next year after that?
That's so heartbreaking.
Yeah, I know. Believe me. I know. You know what? I hated that venue, but I love that venue.
I love that venue just because... It was the easiest drive ever.
Oh, yeah.
It was 100. I mean, I'm sure for you, it was fucking.
Oh, I could get out of MetLife Stadium and be home in 10 minutes if I know what I'm doing.
For me, without the traffic in the parking lot was the worst part. Hitting the turnpike or hitting Route 3 or whatever, that was the worst part.
Yeah.
But once you're on there, it's smooth sailing and it's like 15 minutes.
Well, you just got to sneak out. Like, when I get out of there, like even when we went to see Taylor Swift a couple years ago, I knew the staircase to hit. I knew my wife wanted to go back this time. I'm like, hell no, I ain't doing that shit again. She was there this past weekend, sold out 3 shows, by the way.
There's got to be a drop for Tony.
What?
Seeing Taylor Swift.
For me?
There's got to be a soundbite for that.
Oh, there is. Hey, Kev, guess what? I went to see Taylor Swift.
There it is.
Shitballs.
But,
all right, so there's that. Do you want to do Slammiversary before we go to break? I mean, we got a little bit of time yet.
Yeah, like 20 minutes.
No, I understand. No, well, yeah, kind of. Yeah, I'm kind of watching the clock because I want to make sure we got Mr. Heavy Metal Maniac.
I mean, if you want to just wrap a bow on the women's pay-per-view thing, like, if what would you put as the headline match for that show? Like, what would your main event be? Would it be a multi-person match? Would it be
No.
Would you shotgun the Ronda Rousey Alexa Bliss rematch, or would you shotgun Ronda Rousey? Like, what could possibly main event?
Well, it's got to be one of the women's championships. It's definitely not going to be the NXT title.
No.
You can't put the NXT title on top. And I don't think Carmella headlines a pay-per-view. Is she wrestling at SummerSlam?
I don't know if they might book a match tonight. They just made matches last night.
You know what's going to happen? They're going to book Alexa and Rousey in the rematch because Alexa's going to wind up winning at SummerSlam, and they're going to give Rousey the title. And then that sets up your title for title at WrestleMania, where Charlotte gets it back, and then that's how they have their collision course.
No, but you're... Would be title for title.
They would wind up doing that, I guarantee you.
WrestleMania?
Know why? Yeah, and this is why. Because they'll close WrestleMania with Ronda Rousey... Close WrestleMania!
You heard it here first!
With Ronda Rousey holding both belts over her head. That's your fucking closer with that awful Bad Reputation Joan Jett song playing.
Yeah, but then what do you do after that?
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
She fucking surrenders one of the belts. Who cares?
What interview then was that when Matt said that?
Then.
Hold on, wait. Go ahead.
Oh.
Who was that? What was that about? It was like, what do you do when you can't use your finish anymore?
It was somebody with a pile driver or somebody?
Yeah. Like
was it Matt?
Was it Mike Bennett?
Mike Bennett. That was it. I think it was Mike Bennett. They banned his move.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
What a dick. So here's the thing. They're also talking about women's tag team titles. That was the other rumor going around. So, if you have women that float from brand to brand with the tag belts, why not have a singles champion floating back and forth with the singles belt? Maybe we have a merger. Maybe we have the unified women's champion.
But wouldn't that defeat the whole purpose
of expanding the
female roster?
Well, we're also talking about going to Fox in 2019. And you can't tell me that Fox isn't going to want people on SmackDown like Roman Reigns, Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Braun Strowman. How are you going to keep these big stars off of a major network show?
I'll tell you what you do. You sign more stars.
Oh, God.
You sign Cody Rhodes.
Oh, God.
You throw the moon at him. You sign the Young Bucks.
Throw the Ember Moon at him because he likes to throw chocolate.
Dude, Brandi Rhodes is so hot.
Ah, chocolate titties. Ah.
Oh, my God. We can't stop using other people's stuff.
Why?
What's the last episode of Pritchard Podcast?
Oh, now we're going to talk about it?
Why not? We can talk. Because I love talking about
other
people's
podcasts. What was the last episode? The last episode was Muhammad Hassan? No, it was something after that.
No, it was the last episode. Oh, it might have been Muhammad Hassan.
Maybe it was.
Well, the Invasion one is the most recent one.
No, it was the Invasion one, yes. I keep up with them.
Which I just started. I wanted to finish up Eric Bischoff's Brian Pillman one, which I finished today.
And I think I mentioned it last week. I like me some Tony Schiavone, but that show gets rough lately.
Right. We talk about it all the time because if you don't remember the show, like,
no, it's not like
match
that, but
by
like,
match.
It's the same shtick, and you can't strike gold every time you're doing the same thing, you know? Well, I mean, we've been doing it for 7 years, but that's another story.
Yeah, God knows how many things we've repeated.
No, dude, we've had so many iterations of this show.
Inter what? Interracials?
Yes, yes. Interracial.
We've had so many
facials.
Cody Rhodes this show.
Oh, boo. But, dude, like, we used to do characters on the show when we first started. Remember Tickles?
Yeah.
Remember Satan?
R.I.P. Tickles.
Remember Satan?
Remember I can't do it. My
Overweight Larry still makes some appearances, but he's all by himself.
Yeah, Overweight Larry is on the, he's getting an unemployment check with Tickles.
Kev, I hear somebody at the door.
Who's at the door?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Oh my God!
Hey Kevin,
Did you have are your ears ringing?
Yeah, because I heard chocolate titties. I'm kind of hungry.
Oh my God, overweight Larry, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
That deserves a smattering of applause.
I could always use a little snack if you know what I mean.
Oh, what kind of overweight Larry? You're looking pretty svelte though. So are you on the Atkins or what are you on?
I'm on the seafood diet, silly. I seafood and I eat it. Waka waka. Hey Kev, I gotta go.
All right. Well, overweight Larry with
holy shit, in and out. Look at that.
Look at him. He's having you gotta put one foot in front of the other, Larry.
I'm trying.
All right. Get up the stairs.
He's fucking skipping away, dude.
Why didn't you just open the hatch for him? He's all the way up the stairs.
I don't think he can fit through the hatch.
Right. Well, if he can't fit through the hatch, he can't fit through the front door. All right, Larry.
You better tell my kid to keep his hands and feet away from the hopper.
Fortnite.
Holy shit. Overweight Larry.
Welcome back, overweight
Triumphant Larry. Return. He stuck with a good joke and he left.
Leave him on a high note.
You know, because sometimes the characters stick around too long.
That's right. Sometimes we stick around too long.
Oof. Ain't that the truth? Oh, shit. You want to talk Slammiversary?
Let's do it.
All right. Slammiversary happened this past weekend from the Revel? Was that from the casino?
Rebel.
The Revel?
The Rebel. R-E-B-E-L, I think.
Oh, I thought it was the R-E-V-E-L.
I think it's R-E-B-E-L.
Oh, I don't know. Whatever.
Like Bosco.
It's the Canadian.
Overweight Larry, no one said Bosco.
Yes, you're right. The Rebel Complex. What is that? Like a sports?
I think it's like an entertainment, maybe like a Foxwoods type gimmick or something like that.
Oh.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I got to tell you, Matt said it was a great show top to bottom, and he was not wrong. I really enjoyed this pay-per-view.
I'm really glad I watched it.
I really enjoyed it. I mean, we don't have to go into every single detail. I really enjoyed the opener.
Four-way?
Yes. You know what it reminded me of? Harken back to the old days of WCW.
When you had the multi-man cruiserweight matches?
Put four guys in there and just let them have at it. And it was I thought it was great.
It was, and all the spots, like gelled and everything. It was so fluid. Let's be honest. You got Ishimori, Bone Soldier from New Japan, Bullet Club.
And Phoenix.
Phoenix.
Phoenix, that motherfucker was all over the place.
And, I mean, Petey Williams, who has not lost a step at all. And he's not a young kid anymore,
no.
Petey Williams. I have no idea how old he is.
He wasn't in NXT for a while, was he?
No.
All right, because I was mixing him up with Eric Young then.
I think he left the business for a little while.
Okay, all right,
Or maybe would have just worked Canada, or maybe would have just worked, what's his name's promotion? Border City Wrestling. Scott D'Amore.
Okay, yes.
Maybe, again, Prince of Pro, anyone, Matt, if you're listening.
By the way, a little trivia about Scott D'Amore. Had a match with Metal Maniac. Oh, yes.
Did we talk about that when he was on Matt's birthday show?
Maybe, I don't know if we did.
I got the memory of a fucking goldfish.
Doesn't matter. But to be honest with you, he's not going to remember what we talked about either. So.
But this was also... I haven't watched Impact regularly in a while.
I know. Me too. I fell out of it.
So it was tough for me to like... They kept mentioning... obviously, I knew it was Ishimori's return because he's pretty much...
Yeah, they gave him and Johnny Impact a welcome back chant.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Dude, and I'll say one thing right off the bat. That crowd, they wanted, I mean, I may be jumping ahead a little bit to like, they wanted, when stuff got violent, they wanted it to get more violent.
Yeah, and there were three hardcore matches on the show, three of them,
I never knew Toronto was like that, like they were, the ECW chants were crazy for Tommy Dreamer, we want blood, break his arm chants for the Penta. And
dude, there were kids, like. 15 years old chanting ECW. That's fucking weird.
The network.
That's weird. You can see the Metal Maniac wrestling for ECW live on the on the network.
Eastern Championship Wrestling.
That's right. Tessa Blanchard, Allie, a little rough in spots, but I think overall an okay match.
Yeah, and
Tessa's Allie's jack, dude.
I know you're not much for the Instagram.
She got fucking
she is
thick, dude.
She is
I remember her like 2 years ago when she was coming into WrestlePro with her for their dad. And she got big, dude.
She she's jacked. I follow her on Instagram and everything, and she posts pictures of her
creeper.
Lifting and stuff. Dude, she puts the work in, that's for sure.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Match is a little rough, but
I think there was only one spot that I remember that was a little a little off. I think it involved going over the ropes or something like that.
I think I know what you're talking about, yeah.
I forget exactly what it was. But other than that, I thought it was fine.
No, it was fine.
Ali had the crowd behind her as a Toronto native.
Yes.
Or I'm not sure if she's exactly from Toronto. I think she is.
It's Canada. It's all the same.
It was Alfalo just posted a picture on Instagram. He's there working some spots tonight.
You know, that's the other thing. How come he wasn't on the pay-per-view?
I mean,
look, the pay-per-view's stacked, don't get me wrong, but I want to see my boy Falo Ball on the pay-per-view.
Of course, and him and KM are actually doing some funny stuff with Grado and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, but he's there for the tapings today and tomorrow, or yesterday and today.
Eddie Edwards and Tommy Dreamer. What a fucked up story that is. So Eddie Edwards gets beat up by Sammy Callahan, beats Callahan, wants to fucking kill him, and Tommy Dreamer's like, no, don't do it, and then now they're fighting?
Well, I guess the storyline was the obsession that they played it off on the pay-per-view in the pre-show packages, because, again, I haven't watched it.
The
comparison with him and Raven.
Yeah, and Tommy was like, you beat him, you're done,
yeah.
It's over.
Which, to me, is, I think that's a brilliant story. Like
it's just, like, really fucking deep.
And then they played it off. The only part that I didn't get was how, and this was probably explained on Impact, but again, I haven't watched it.
Oh, so Tommy fucked his wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
Maybe Eddie just assumed that maybe Tommy went to his wife to try to talk
this
guy
out of
it.
How do you know about my wife?
Like, my wife.
My wife.
My wife.
But, that was kind of weird. And then she came out at the end, and then she left Eddie just standing in the ring by himself.
Were you disappointed
weird.
That they didn't have a fire spot? The crowd wanted it.
Well, they wanted it because you teased it and you gave it. You didn't just tease it.
And then it ended in a wrestling spot, a Shining Wizard. A Shining Wizard.
Well, there you go. But they put the fucking lighter fluid on the table. And you don't do that unless something's going to happen. But I think it played off well. Maybe Tommy really didn't want to put him through it anyway.
God, Tommy Dreamer is a Matt. Me and Matt talked about this. I think you and me may have even talked about it. Is how Tommy Dreamer, everyone says, like, Goldust doesn't age, like, so-and-so doesn't age. Tommy Dreamer might get older, but he doesn't age.
Getting a little older.
I get that. I guess I didn't make that as clear as I wanted.
I completely get what you're saying, but
the fact that he could work literally anywhere he wants to, whenever he wants to. If WWE called him tomorrow after being on an Impact pay-per-view Sunday night, they could have him, and he would work there, and he would get over.
Well, Don Callis was saying he had worked like three other shows and then flew in that morning for the pay-per-view.
It's unbelievable.
It's fucking sick.
And
again, he must really not want to be home.
I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, but I pose this question to Matt about Tommy Dreamer. I'm like, other than guys that can come in, do what they want, do work somewhere else, and then come back in, guys like Chris Jericho, guys like Rey Mysterio, Tommy Dreamer, what are you laughing at over there?
I'm not laughing. I'm checking. Dude, keep going.
You're smirking. Something's up. Tommy Dreamer could literally work for New Japan, work for Impact, work for, obviously, House of Hardcore, obviously. Work anywhere he wants, and WWE would still call him tomorrow to come in for something, and he would garner the same respect as a Chris Jericho, as a Rey Mysterio, as a Rock, Rock wanted to do it. Tommy Dreamer's at that level. Like, that's insane. And he didn't have the most, like,
he's just got so much shit going on between the House of Hardcore.
It's insane.
And all these bookings he takes and working for Impact. It's nuts.
And he didn't have the most memorable WWE career. So the fact that he's remembered most for his ECW.
Yeah.
That's his legend.
Yeah.
And the respect that I have for Tommy Dreamer is just absolutely fucking ridiculous. In more ways than one. From what he did in the ring, from what he's doing now.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane.
Brian Cage, your new X Division champion, beat Matt Sydal.
That was a fun match.
Matt Sydal went for the Shooting Star Press and almost fucked his shit up.
That
fucking scared the shit out of me.
That and the first Steiner screwdriver spot were a little...
Yes, yes. And I think, what did he finish him with? Like the pile driver into like the...
That's a Steiner screwdriver.
Like, the second one...
The second one was fine. He suplexed into the...
But dude, when he caught him in the suplex... When he caught him,
that was
fucking sick.
That was awesome.
But here's Brian Cage. Like, he's a big fucking guy, and he's moving around like a cruiserweight.
Brian Cage is, I don't know what he has. Like, he's not the most, like, other than his size, he doesn't have that aura that'll grab you in. He doesn't have, like, that quote-unquote, to me, anyway.
Because he...
It factor.
He looks like a, and I say this with all sincerity, he looks like a big oaf that can fly.
But once you see him in the ring, you're right.
You look
once
at
you see him in the ring,
and you're like,
how is he doing this
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, you look at him and you're like, oh, he's a fucking roided up juice head. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the impression you get. But the second he fucking starts moving in those ropes, you're like, what the fuck was I thinking? Look at this guy. He's a fucking, he's an enigma. He really is.
And
he's your new X Division champion.
Which I can't wait to see.
I really thought Matt Sydal fucking killed himself when he fucking hit the buckles doing that shooting star press.
Well, what do you think that was? Was Brian Cage
no.
positioned too close?
Yes, exactly. And Matt Sydal thought like he could still hit him, and he just fucking like took his head out on the turnbuckle.
Brian Cage lifted his leg to try to get the boot in, right? Mm-hmm. But did Matt? I watched it. Don't get me wrong. I watched it. Did Matt Sydal's legs clip the turnbuckle when he came down, his feet? Or was it just...
I think it was just his face.
Or was it just too close?
It was too close. I think
Matt
Brian
misjudged it, and his foot, instead of hitting him in like the ribs, say...
Yeah.
Or the chest, it hit him right in the fucking...
Well, it was like his feet kind of just hit, and it was really awkward.
I remember...
It
was definitely awkward. I just watched it like 2 hours ago, but I thought that maybe Matt Sydal's legs clipped the buckle.
What did you... What did you think of the Sue Young Madison Rain match?
All right, here's where I'm gonna talk to you.
Okay.
I was up against the iPad battery.
Okay.
I had to skip something.
Okay, and I
skipped that.
Unfortunately, I didn't skip it. I wasn't watching it closely. I could say that like it's weird. I've been following the story either, but Sue Young is kind of like taking Rosemary's gimmick like to like three levels above. With like these zombie women coming out with her in the casket, putting Madison Rain in the casket after the match.
Yeah.
She uses like a bloody glove for a mandible claw, which I thought was pretty neat. But like, it's weird. Like, I felt kind of weird. Like, and here's another thing. A lot of people using the lung blower. Isn't that somebody's finishing move?
What's the lung blower?
You know, like remind the backstab me. Or whatever it's called.
Oh, the backstabber, yeah.
Oh, somebody did it inverted, and I'm like, well, KM uses that too, doesn't he? It's like...
Well,
it's,
KM does the eagle driver.
No, I understand, but there's a lot of people using variations on that move, and I think it's becoming like the DDT of Impact.
Well, you know who I think...
Because LAX was using it too. A lot of people have been using it.
I will never say for certain I know who started it, but I know for a fact that when I... Since Carlito used it
in
WWE, that's when you see a lot of people using it. I mean, Alberto Del Rio used it.
Yeah. Sorry. Excuse me. Jesus.
Like, a lot of guys have been using it since. And, I mean, I don't know what it is about that move I don't get it. It's not...
I think it's an easy move to pull out of nowhere.
That's probably what it is. But you always get the people that, like, go to the ropes... And then they hold on to the ropes, but then the guy still catches them with the backstabber while their back is to them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand. I'm sure other people
have done it
too. I
think it's easy to execute from anywhere. It's kind of like a stunner. You could just grab somebody and they'll go with it.
Yeah. They'll go with it, and they'll pretty much plant you safe on your back.
Yeah.
And, yep.
So there was that. LAX versus the OGs. Fucking Hernandez is just a fucking...
I forgot how good he is.
Good. Sometimes he comes across as a little reckless to me.
But you have to understand, he towers above everyone else in the ring.
No, I get
it. Everything that he does is going to look reckless.
Look, we've had Eddie Kingston on the show. We've had Homicide on the show. And I've talked to them both.
We've had LAX on the show.
Exactly. But.
Twice.
Fucking, I see Hernandez on TV and it's like, I don't want to fuck with that guy. You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree.
Like, I look at him and he's like, he's the bad motherfucker. You know,
dude, they're all bad motherfuckers.
I get it, but on the scale
I wouldn't want to fuck with Homicide either.
But on the scale of bad motherfuckery, I wouldn't fuck with Eddie Kingston either. But
King,
you like if I'm looking at them, like I might feel like okay, this might go like 10% my way. You just look at Homicide, just like put your head down. It's over,
dude. Hernandez is he's a monster.
Yeah, he's a fucking beast.
Remember? Oh God, and Hernandez is a guy that I always like to see getting. Brought back because he's had like four different runs and Impact,
and it was kind of cool. Like Conan was involved, Kingston was involved.
Conan?
You know,
Conan O'Brien was involved. Well, Conan, keep cool, my babies.
And the year,
I'm an OG.
You realize the year 2000 is fucking 18 years ago already.
Shut up.
That fucking gimmick was from the 90s when I was in college.
I remember that gimmick. Jim Carrey used to do it. Jim with him. Everyone did it. The Rock did it, I think.
Did he?
Yeah.
Possibly.
But I think it was after the... There's no way...
They did it a couple times after
there's
the
no
2000.
Way that, yeah, I was about to say, there's no way that it was...
But that's long dead and buried.
I was in high school in 2000, and I wasn't watching Conan O'Brien. I don't even know if Conan O'Brien was he wasn't the late night guy in 2000, was he? He might have still been on like Fox or.
No, he was the late night with Conan O'Brien at that point, because I remember he was on when I was in college. I went to go see his 5th anniversary special in the city.
Really? Well,
they cut like 10 minutes of Adam Sandler's appearance
when,
out.
When he was still on after
awful.
Leno, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was long before they did the whole flip-flop thing.
You know, I had a job interview with Letterman, and I didn't get it.
Oh, boo.
Yeah.
Kevin.
I was fresh out of college, wide-eyed, bushy-tailed kid.
Fuck.
With the dream.
It's a nice neighborhood to work in, too.
Oh, beautiful.
I like the theater district.
Yeah.
It's better than being in Times Square. So that was a hell of a match. Yes, Latin American Exchange, LAX retains, but the OGs grabbed the belts and spray-painted OG on them and walked out.
I like the finish, too, with the tax and everything.
Yes. A little weird that they didn't build up to it. They just kind of dumped the tax and fucking
boom,
boom.
Well, no, they kind of build up to it, like Conan getting on the apron and then throwing it. You know, the old tomfoolery.
Yeah. All right, let's crank these last two out. Because,
why don't we break?
Well, no, because our guest is in the queue. He's waiting.
Oh.
Yeah, so let's...
So we're not going to break?
No, we can.
Okay.
We can take a quick break.
Well, let's break.
Want.
Let's break now. We'll cut TBD. Although right. We don't know if he's going to... We don't know how long we're going to go with him.
Well, Pentagon Sami Callihan. Let's just go through it. His mask versus hair.
Vicious.
Fucking amazing. Then when they were going back and forth with the spikes stabbing each other in the face, and fucking Sammy rips his mask... And he's like, the blood just changes the front of the mask red. He looks like he's got a red bandana on. He was bleeding so much. They beat the shit out of each other.
That match was almost to the point, like I know we have friends with like Game Changer and CZW. That match, like that kind of stuff makes me like cringe when I watch it. Like, I know it was safe probably. I know everything was fine.
And Sammy's facial expressions are like second to none. Like, he's better than Kenny Omega with the facial expression.
Sami Callihan is amazing.
He's nuts. And even at the end when he was trying to chicken shit out of getting his hair cut and Phoenix came out and they fucking beat him up and he was crying, dude. He was crying when they were cutting his hair.
I think he kind of wanted it because you kind of noticed some...
Look, I get he did, but he played like he didn't.
No, I get it. And it was perfect.
And it came across like he didn't.
I actually skipped... The head shaving part too, because again, I was up against the. I watched the match,
but
the entire match.
When Phoenix had the one spike and he was like nailing it in with the other one,
yeah,
that was fucking hilarious.
They did the chair spot where they both sit down and they're like,
and they
were punching, and then
yeah.
There's a spike.
And then they were jabbing each other with the spikes. Yeah. And then they had like the kind of standoffs where they both hit each other with the chair and both went down. Great stuff. Amazing match. Just enough fucking blood and craziness, but they beat the shit out of each other. And finally, Austin Aries retains his championship against Moose.
I really thought Moose was going to be the guy.
Well, you know what? Close but no cigar. It was a great match, and I'm telling you, Austin Aries is fucking amazing.
Yeah,
amazing. There was one part where he hit the ropes and he was going to springboard and he was going to like launch himself out. And Moose just fucking, I forget if he got the boot up or he got a forearm up, but the way Aries like hit, like he ran into him full force and bounced back. He's fucking making Moose look like $1 million, dude. He's fucking unbelievable.
There were a lot of fun stuff.
A lot of fun
marble
stuff.
Marble mouth.
Like when he threw fucking Aries into the crowd and shit.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
And even
stuff.
Like when they're on the outside and like Moose like does I forget what the move was, but Moose nails Austin Aries with something. Austin Aries stumbles and then Ric Flair bumps while before Moose can even do anything. It's like and Don Callis like said, he didn't duck, he just fell. It was awesome.
I could take or leave those guys. Like, Josh and Don, after, like, some things, they were annoying me a little bit, but... Don Callis was better here than he is when he's in Japan.
I think it's... I can't really speak to that, to be honest with you, because just off the top of my head, I don't remember how his commentary goes there. But I thought that Josh Matthews, and I was a big Josh Matthews fan from the beginning.
Oh, I know.
Kind of got sick of him a little later in the TNA days, but I thought him and Don actually... I didn't watch it on mute. Let's put it that way.
There were just some parts that annoyed me. I mean, for the most part, they were fine, but there were just a couple things like I don't need to know that. I just want to watch the match, you know.
Like where they've been, like what companies they've worked for, who's like a independent champion.
I can't think of an example, but there was shit like that they would give away, and it's like you don't really need to tell the crowd that. You know what I'm saying?
I'll have to watch it again.
Yeah, I mean, it's just nitpicking. They were fine, but you know. That's just me being a commentator extraordinaire, as you know.
That's right.
We're going to take a quick break because we have Metal Maniac waiting in the wings to join us. Don't go anywhere. And like my friend the Mad Dog would say, back after this.
Here's your chance to get some great merchandise and support the people that support us, the Shining Wizards. If you shop at Amazon, visit amazon.shiningwizards.com and click on your country's banner. Shop as usual, pay great low prices, and a portion of your purchase will support us. Blue Apron. If you haven't tried fresh food, easy to prepare, and absolutely delicious, go to shiningwizards.com and click on the Blue Apron banner to save $30 off your first order. If you like wrestling videos, visit shiningwizards.com and click on the IVP videos banner. Shop as usual, pay great low prices, and once again, a portion of your purchase will support the show. If you like great wrestling t-shirts designed for all of us, visit Collar and Elbow at collarandelbowbrand.com, where wrestling fashion meets street passion. Use the code WIZARDS at checkout and save 10% off your order. For all your lucha gear needs, visit luchashop.com. Once again, use the code WIZARDS at checkout to save 10%. The High Spots Wrestling Network offers over 2,000 hours of video content every month. Go to highspotswrestlingnetwork.com and use the code WIZARDS at checkout for your first month free. If you're interested in great lucha crates, visit our friends at luchaloot.com. Use the code WIZARDS at checkout and save 10% off your first crate. If you want wrestling shirts from today's brightest and biggest stars, visit Bottom Line Merch at bottomlinemerch.com. Zubaz. If you're not wearing Zubaz, you're just wearing pants. Visit them at zubaz.com and don't forget to check out their lucha masks. If you're interested in starting a podcast, doing some designs for social media, or anything else that requires some technical savvy, visit our friend Brian Thompson at gauntletcreative.com. Support those who support us, the Shining Wizards.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at Inconclusive Pod or facebook.com/inconclusive breakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
We're the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we approve this message. Even though many of you believe that we're living in an ununified country where the main question is whether to kneel or stand, you'll never have to worry about the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Because we're up all night.
Too sweet.
No, it's one sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Listen to the Jersey Wrecking Crew on the High Spot Podcast with brand new episodes every Friday on the Shining Wizards and B Plus Player Radio Network.
Did you see what Bret Hart did? Gave his sunglasses to a kid. Now that kid grew up real big. He's got a family. He's got a house. He's not retarded anymore. That's the power of Bret Hart's glasses.
All right, partner. Keep on rolling, baby.
Keep rolling.
All right. Gonna do some plugs here, everybody. Some abbreviated plugs here. I tried my best, Matt. I think you're gonna be impressed. We're gonna start off, obviously, with our friends over at WrestlePro, WrestlePROOnline.com. September 7th, they make their return home to Rahway, New Jersey, featuring an amazing Big time match between Dan Moff and PCO. That's also, for those of you who don't know, Quebecer from the Pierres, who has a, who's had a, an amazing career resurgence.
Quebecer of the Pierres?
Is that what I said? I guess we got a show title. Pierre of the Quebecers. PCO, who's had an amazing run. Actually, this is going to be a rematch from their show at Wrestling Has a Tomorrow. Speaking of Wrestling Has a Tomorrow, Wrestling Has a Tomorrow, 7 September 23rd at the FET Music Hall. Go to WrestlingHasATomorrow.com for tickets. Of course, Smash Wrestling, Smash-Wrestling.com, Super Showdown 6. Comes your way in Toronto, Jesus. Canada, August 26th. Go to Smash-Wrestling.com for all of your tickets. Of course, WrestlePro's sister, New York promotion, Creative Pro Wrestling, CreativePro Wrestling.com. The Shook Crew Fun Fair takes place August 5th. The Shook Crew is in control, and they will have they will be booking the show, people. And also September 15th, it's all about us. Tennille, Gangrel, amongst your favorite Creative Pro stars. CreativePoWrestling.com, Capital Wrestling, CapitalWrestling.Weebly.com. August 10th, I believe, is their next show coming to you from Hoboken, New Jersey, 301 Garden Ave. Go to CapitalWrestling.Weebly.com. CZW Wrestling, CZWrestling.com, July 28th, I believe that is this weekend at some point, Matt. New Heights, they reach New Heights this week. Wildcat, obviously, I want to shout out Wildcat Sports. WildcatWrestling.com, Wildcat with the K. They just scored a new TV deal, so shout out to Luke Hawks and all the guys down at Wildcat down in New Orleans. And the rest of our friends, Game Changer Wrestling, Battle Club Pro Wrestling. I mean, I'm sure there's many more. MLW.
Are you sure?
That was my attempt at plugs. I wrote down as many as I could.
Did we plug what?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Right,
cool.
After,
I wasn't paying attention.
Right after WrestlePro. Did he send you plugs?
No, your plugs mean nothing to me. I'm sorry. I'm prepping for our guest. I'm just getting things ready. No, you did a good job, man.
All right. So those are some plugs. I'm sure there are some that we missed. I'm sure we'll get to more.
It's time for Kevin's Wacky Plugs.
Game Changer.
I guess I should have did that first.
Battle Club.
Rolling. And cut. There you go. Let's get the melody.
Should we plug our next week guest, or should we wait till the end of the show?
No, go ahead.
Next week, we'll be joined in studio by Casey Catal and Brandon
Hey,
Kirk.
What do you hear? What do you say? Casey Catal, I'm going to be on the couch with Matt.
Two standouts on the independent scene, CZW, you name it. They've done it.
Who's the other person that's joining Casey?
Brandon Kirk.
Oh, who cares? It's Casey Catal, dude. That's all you need to know.
All right.
Sorry. All apologies to Brandon Kirk. Matt's going to be a creeper, Casey. You better fucking bring your mace and your slapjack. So you could fucking pshaw him away and say, no, you brute.
How is Stevie Ray not capitalized on bootios by making fruit bootios?
Or slapjacks. He could just fucking sell slapjacks with Stevie Ray.
Like instead of Applejacks, have slapjacks with the logo. And instead of bootios or Fruit Loops, have fruit bootios. Or like the New Day could like conglomerate with...
Let's call our guest.
That's a great idea. I'm a marketing genius.
Hey, I didn't say you weren't. Why? Oh, here we go. All
right. So who are we calling?
I didn't know phones reached Hawaii.
Casey Catal?
Casey Catal.
It's the Metal Maniac.
Mr. Heavy Metal Maniac, you are on live with the Shining Wizards. How are you tonight, brother?
Brother, it's tonight by you, but it's still only today by me. 6 hours behind you in the middle of the Pacific Ocean in God's country, the Hawaiian Islands.
Now, I got to ask you off the bat, how did the Metal Maniac find his way to the Hawaiian Islands? And what, I mean, I can probably answer it myself, but what made you decide to stay in the Hawaiian Islands?
Well, first of all, anybody comes here doesn't really want to leave. No. I mean, come on, let's face it. I mean, if you've been to New York City and you come here, you go, oh, no, I got to stay. There's just no way to leave. But that's what happened to me. So the story goes like this. So years ago, the Islanders, before Tongo Kid was in it, was another guy in it, Siva Afi.
Yes.
Siva Afi and Haku were the Islanders. And I guess that Siva when he went and got the Peter Mavia tattoo because he was Peter Mavia's nephew, and that's how he got the job at Vince. He got the tattoo, and Vince wanted him to do a job on a Saturday morning to the Ultimate Warrior. He said, listen, the people in Samoa believe my family, they'll be killed. They can't do that. So Vince doesn't have a clue, you know. So he just walks out. And at this point, I had been trying to reach out to him because he lived in New Jersey. He owned a tanning bed place. And I heard he was, you know, WWE. And so at the point, at that year, he was the WWF, and then just turning WWF. So I couldn't reach him, you know, and I heard Florida was a big state for wrestling and shot down there. And all of a sudden, I'm at this bar, and I'm like half managing the security there. And here comes Siebel walking in, and we started talking. He says, oh, I need a job. I'm like, you need a job? And he told me he left WWF and that he was doing stunts for Burt Reynolds. And then he needed extra work. So I said, well, you got it. Because I figured, hey, I want to be a wrestler, but I hadn't told him that yet. And then we became good friends, and then I told him. And somewhere around the six-month point, he says, I'm moving back to Hawaii. And I says, well, we just started training, and I really would love to continue. He goes, if you want to come, you can move to Hawaii. He says, I'll have a spot and so forth, you know, for you to plug into and get you a job, and you start working and get the kinks out. And then when it's time to go on the road, you do. So I figured that's what I'm going to do. I went back home. Told my family I was moving to Hawaii. They said, yeah, okay, it's so expensive. I said, yeah, I'm moving to Hawaii, seriously. And they're like, all right, well, when are you leaving? I said, tomorrow. They said, tomorrow?
Oh, shit.
And they said, you know, I had through my four bags packed. My mother's sister drove me to LaGuardia's airport. And at that time, it was TWA. And I flew TWA to St. Louis. They didn't have a direct flight to St. Louis. This is back when you could still smoke on an airplane. They were called stewardesses. and what stewardesses they were, brother. And so, we get traveling whores, you know. So, we got on that's how it is. I mean, that's how it was. I guess that's how it still is because, you know, they're like caged animals, you know. But nurses, they're freaks. So I don't know why, but they just are. So I get down here. He's got a job lined up for me at the Sugar Mill. He's got which doesn't exist anymore. It's a bar. And he's got another bouncing job for me at the Pink Cadillac, which is a great place to hang out. It's all 4 a.m. stuff. And there was a ring at Calicala Gym that belonged to Thalia Maivia. So she took a liking to me right away. That's The Rock's grandmother. And this is probably when Dwayne was like, Dwayne is 10 years younger than me. And I'm 50, so let's say I'm 24. He must have been about 14 at this point. So, she took a liking to me, and she used to call me and say, listen, come over on Friday night, early Friday, like, you know, about, I don't know, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, she would go have a couple of belts over at the Outrigger Malia, and she would sit there and get loaded and tell me about stories about the business, you know, and that's like, you know, class, you know what I mean?
That's awesome.
Because Siva was showing me a little bit how to hit the ropes and stuff, and she was promoting shows. She would give me a class about, listen, you know, about the girls, and about, listen, don't get married too quick, and because the business and how it screws up families and kids. Boy, was she was right, you know. So I was listening to anything she had to say because, you know, you had to be respectful. It was Hawaii, not just respect for the business, but it was Hawaii. It's really serious down here. And it's not like, oh, you know, oh, peaches and cream. You're disrespectful, and Samoan guy walks by, I'm going to tell you right now, 50 Samoan guys will end up just killing you just because they heard you being disrespectful. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Then they'll walk away and leave your lane. I mean, it's just the way it is down here. So I didn't need to learn the hard way, you know. And so she was very kind to me. I had one show on Maui with this guy named Farmer Boy Ippo. He was a middle-of-the-road WWWF card, middle card guy like a Johnny Rods, good worker, solid, you know, but not, you know, over-the-top extreme, but really good guy, nice man, Hawaiian guy. And I think he's half Hawaiian, half Samoan. Nice guy. I was green as crap, you know. And that was my first match, and Don Morocco was the main event. You know, and I didn't do too much, you know, because it was pretty straightforward match. But it was only like, 8-10 minutes, you know, beat him up, I put him over, you know, that kind of thing. And Morocco said to, you know, Siva, hey, he's not bad. I mean, you know, he doesn't know any much, but, you know, he gets the crowd going, which is half the thing, you know, right there. He goes, hey, he's not bad for 3 weeks. He goes, what do you mean? He goes, the kid just got here 3 weeks ago. He goes, okay, now I get it, because he thought maybe I had a year in the business, you know. So, which was cool, because that's a compliment itself. So, the funniest thing is, he asked me, yeah, so, you know, you got any smoke? I said, yeah, I smoke dudes. I smoke a dude with him, we're talking, bullshit. He goes, where do you stay? And I go, well, I live over on Dole Street, which is easy to find. I'm on the right-hand side of this street. And he says, oh, I know where that is. I said, yeah. And he says, what do you, that's like a rooming house kind of house. I said, yeah, it's a house, but there's five, it's like a dormitory. There's five college kids in there plus me, but I've got my own bathroom and bedroom. You know, the other kids are sharing their bathrooms and stuff. You know, it's like $500 a month. And, you know, I got a scooter going to the beach. 5 minutes from the beach, you know, it's great. So all of a sudden, the funniest thing, I'm working at this strip club till 4 a.m. as a bouncer. So it's like 9:00 a.m. now, and I'm exhausted, right? I'm laying up sleeping. And all of a sudden, I hear some big knock, not on the front door, but on the wall of the house. And I hear another knock again, and I'm like, who the fuck is knocking on this house? All of a sudden, they hear, oh, Metal Maniac, wake up. And I get on my knees, and I look over, and there is Don Morocco. I mean, let me tell you, when I saw Don Morocco walk down the hall, I've been in the music business. I've met David Lee Roth. I've met Peter Gabriel, I met John Wayne, I met the guys from Cooling Gang, spent a lot of time with guys with Styx, Tommy Shaw. So I was never starstruck by anybody. But here comes fucking Don Morocco with a big giant joint in his mouth. And big as fuck, excuse my language. And he comes walking in my house. And he lights this big joint up in the middle of this living room. And what am I supposed to tell him? Don't light it? What are you? She just lights it up. He's like, all right, come on, let's go get dressed, wash up. Let's go. We're going to World's Gym because they're open. And he just started to be a stevedore. And he punched in and then he goes to surf. That was his deal. He would punch in and go surf. And then he'd go punch out and go home. He was the sweetest fucking deal going. So he does, hey, because they love him, right? He's Hawaiian. So, oh, he would get supplementary pay. He'd never do nothing. It was amazing. So it's funny. So, you know, every time I went to the gym with him, you know, he would talk to me about stuff. And then he took me up to King Curtis's house. And I meet King Curtis. And, you know, I would go with Don to the gym sometimes, and then if Don wasn't around, I'd go to King Curtis's house because he was also a really big pot smoker. And that was just the end. That was the end of his drugs career. So And I would listen to stories from him about Jim Barnett and, you know, New Zealand and Australia, you know, all kinds of crazy stories, you know. And then eventually Don Morocco looks at me and goes, all right, kid, look. She said, you had two, you know, you had one match, you had a second match at this point. He's like, you know the basics, but you don't know, because the basics have nothing to do with wrestling. It, that just has to do with, you know, how to function, but that's not how to wrestle. And you have to learn that in front of people. And these shows here are very small, and they're far and few between. You need to go somewhere where there's more activities, so you can learn faster, pick up the speed. I'm like, brother, I just got here and worked my ass off to get here. He goes, listen, the waves will be here when you get back. You got to go. So I'm like, well, what do I do? He says, well, listen, he says, I want you to call up Todd Gordon, who's a friend of mine. He says, I work for him. He says, and just tell him, you know, you're friends with me and that you're green, that you're willing to learn. And, you know, this is what you look like. I had some good pictures and you talk well and go from there. So, you know, I didn't know the fear. I'm going to tell you this story because there's a big rib behind it. And this is how it all kind of starts with Jimmy is, you know, Don says to me, listen, don't tell him I trained you or nothing. You know, I said, no, I won't. You know, I wouldn't do that. I'm not going to just use your name and lie. You know what I mean? I just say, you told me to call. We're friends. We go to, you know, World's Gym and work out, you know. So, you know, when you're in the wrestling business and you say the word training, it means you're training in the ring. But if you're a guy that works out and you're not in the wrestling business, when you say the word train, it means you're going to the gym and you're working out with the weights.
Yeah.
So I said to Todd Gordon, listen, my name is so-and-so. I sent some pictures to you. He says, yes, I'm looking at them. I said, great. I said, look, I live in Hawaii. I said, but I got frequent flyers, and I'd like to see if you could, you know, use me so I can show you what I can and can't do. But I got something to offer. And he says to me, you know, well, what, you know, how close are you to Don? I said, well, you know, every day we go to the gym and we train. But I said it like I meant World's Gym, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's like, oh, great, perfect. So Todd Gordon said, oh, I've got this guy, you know, trained by Don Morocco, you know. Well, I didn't know this. So I get there, Johnny Hotbody picks me up at the airport. No, excuse me. That's not true. I forget this girl's name. She was, that's not important what she was. But just suffice to say, she was like the, she was the rat who would pick up the boys and give them their first, you know, taste of the good life, you know, when you first get into business, so to speak. Just first name was Kathy. That's enough. We don't need to give her any more. We don't want to put her over any more than that.
No, of course not.
So Stevie Wonderful, so funny. So she picks me up at the airport, and I can't understand what she's saying because her mouth is full. So we get to the hotel. So I meet with Stevie Wonderful, and he goes, "Wait a second, so we're in the middle of this conversation talking about this angle coming up. Me against Snuka. You know, I'm going to run in during the match, and it's Jimmy and Sal Belomo." As this Roman guy, you know, this Roman thing with the beard, and he got big. And so he's doing this gimmick. He said, and then we want you to run in, do a screw job, try to do a screw job. And Jimmy headbutts you, and then you go flying out, and you go for it again. Tony Stetson whacks you. This way, Jimmy will splash him, and Tony will take you around, and you can start learning from the middle card up. So, okay, fine. So, and so now we're in the hotel and we're talking about this. And Stevie Wonderful looks down, he looks back, looks down, looks back. He goes, You fucked her. Excuse me. Can you have to beat this out?
No, you don't. It's okay. Right? It's okay.
You're going to beat this out or not?
It's all. No, it's
goes,
all good.
He goes, no, I go, no, I didn't. He goes, yeah, you did. I said, how do you know? He goes, she was wearing stockings 10 minutes ago when she left here. Now she's not wearing no stockings, so I don't know what the hell happened. I said, but them stockings came off. I said, oh, I don't know. I don't want to kiss and tell. I'm a gentleman. He said, oh, you're a pig just like me, and you're full of shit. And so that's good. You've been initiated because, you know, she's ribbing me. She's got the creepy crawlers now freaking out. You know, it's funny. So now Morocco comes in for this show. And, you know, he told me not to tell them that I was trained by Don Morocco, which I wasn't. Don was helping me.
Yeah.
Siva had trained me. And, you know, I was innocently speaking to a guy in the business from outside the business, and I said the word training, and I assumed that he understood that I meant with the weights. But he said to Don, and Don went, what? Don went out and spent $100 on a shirt to be made with all those letters years ago. They pressed the letters down, and I got a picture of it, and it's in the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, along with a whole bunch of pictures and a write-up and a story and everything about me and all these different guys, Jimmy and Old Siva, Don, Curtis, all wrapped around me, different pictures. And if you're looking, if you post a picture of King Curtis and Jimmy and I, you people can see that, you know, I'm a way younger guy than I am now. That's like, that's got to be 1993. You know,
yeah, young but not so innocent.
And so, you know, so Don comes walking in the locker room, and he's a big guy, and he's wearing a shirt that says, "I did not train the Metal Maniac."
That's fucking awesome.
as a rib. And he walked through the whole fucking locker room, wore it out to the ring, and somehow or another, this guy Ian Levy, Cowboy Carson, he was the announcer. Yeah. He got a hold of the shirt and kept it in a plastic bag, and it ended up at the Pro Wrestling's Hall of Fame. You know, so the people are ribbing me. The Sandman, before he was drinking beer, he was coming out to the ring with a surfboard, boogie board, and Johnny Hot Body, Tony Stetson,
yep,
Chuck Williams, Osborne,
Glenn Osborne, yes.
And Harley Lewis, and the first guy who put me over was one half of the Misfits, was Harley Lewis, and the other guy, I forget his name, God bless his soul, was such
yes,
a good
holy
guy.
Shit, I can't.
Excellent talent. We'll come up with his name. Write that down. Get someone of your think tankers and think up that name. Excellent guy. And it's on the tip of my tongue. But he was the first guy to put me over, you know, when I didn't know even how to put myself over. And then, you know, they had little matches, you know, at different places. But so the first night, I was supposed to wrestle with Jimmy. So now I walk into Jimmy. Jimmy's got his own locker room, you know. And I don't know anything about locker room etiquette. No one's ever told me about, hey, shake hands, sit down, be quiet, you know. So I just go walking right by the boys. I get in my gear where the marks are, but they haven't been in the building yet. And I go walking right into Jimmy. Said Jimmy Snuka. So I said, fuck. I knock on the door, you know, because I had met Jimmy in Hawaii, you know. So I got the face paint on, but he didn't recognize me like that. He only knew me from being with normal and regular clothes. So I start talking to Jimmy and telling him, brother, I don't know if you remember me, and blah, 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 this and that. We smoked a dude behind the gym, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, here, I brought you a lava lava. I brought you some slippers that say Hawaii on it. I got you some, they you know how they have sushi and they make it sashimi by slicing it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they dry it out like jerky, and they call it the snacks, which are poo-poos, snacks, and they're good with beer, and you can only get that kind of shit here, you know? And so I brought him a whole bunch of this, it's called ahi jerky. It's the Hawaiian word for tuna meat. Mm-hmm. So ahi jerky, and he's looking at this stuff, and Jimmy don't read, but he knows what this stuff is. And he's like, wow, oh, man, thank you. You know, because that's how Jimmy talks, right?
Yeah.
And that's how people in Hawaii talk. That's how people in Hawaii talk. People thought Jimmy was, like, acting or whatever. No, that was how people talk. Hey, brother, how's it? You know, that's how people talk here in Hawaii. So he goes, brother, man, sit down, man. So we're talking, and he said, oh, because he doesn't realize who I am because I met him before, actually twice before, in Hawaii. So it's funny. Jimmy sees that thing, and he's laughing, and he doesn't really get the whole thing yet. He hasn't gotten it yet because he hasn't seen me without my gimmick on. So here comes the finish that I'm supposed to be in. So it's supposed to be one headbutt, and I go flying out. Instead, I keep feeding Jimmy because I'm so excited. You know what I'm saying? I want to just be in there with him.
No, I got you.
He looks incredible at this point. And I just keep feeding him. Finally, Jimmy said, brother, get the fuck out. He gives me his headbutt. I go flying out. Here comes Tony Stetson. That's the first time I got hit with a chair. And holy cannolis, Batman, I got hit with a chair. I was expecting a little bit, maybe 25% lighter. I got about 80%. I didn't get 100, but I got 80%. Enough to knock me on my ass for real. And I mean knock me on my ass.
Oh, yeah.
So hey, Tony Stetson, a hell of a worker. He wasn't trying to take it easy, but he was right there in front of the people. He was done correctly. It wasn't meant to hurt. It was meant to teach, you know. But at that point, you don't know. You know, you just think, oh, shit, what the fuck? And I was so excited, I didn't even feel it. But I know it knocked me on my ass. And then the next thing you know, the following night, I'm at Tommy D. And Tommy D. says to him, you know, Universal Wrestling Federation in out of Brooklyn. He says to Jimmy, do you know this guy? He goes, no. He says, well, he's from Hawaii. He said, no, I don't know the guy. So I come walking through with the face paint off. Now, because he sees me the night before, wash my face wash, he gets up and goes, hey, brother, what's going on? We hug each other. And he's like, oh, I know that. He says, Jimmy, I just asked you if you knew this guy. He said, well, I don't know him like that. I know him like this. So I worked with Cousin Luke. I banged my knee somewhere in there, got hurt, said go home. It was way early. We did. I get in the back, and Jimmy goes, brother, man, says, stop by the hotel, you know, because I got food and everything, and we can talk, you know. So I said, okay, so we did it. So I went there, you know, smoking a dude, drinking a beer, and he says to me, why did you go home like that? I said, bro, I'm booked like, I got like 16 bookings over the next, you know, 2.5 months. And I got to make these shows. And I'm figuring, why hurt myself for one show, you know? And back then, the starting pay was $100, $150. But because I had a decent picture, I was getting $150. It wasn't free like it is today, where all these kids are working for free, some very talented and some fucking stupid idiots. So, you know, it was, you know, I just, I got to be careful what I'm doing. And so, you know, he goes, you got 16 bookings? I'm like, yeah. He goes, wow, that's pretty good. I was like, well, it's not in 1 month, Jimmy. It's like, you know, I got the next, like, you know, 3 months, you know, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks. And then I go back to Hawaii for a week, and then I come back and do it again. And he's starting to watch me on the phone, making my airline stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And his wife was making his, but she worked for the airlines, and he couldn't understand why he couldn't get his a seat assignment because she would always leave it for them at the gate, and he hated that. He always hated that, but I didn't know what was going on in his head. I found out later, but so he's watching me do my thing, you know, and so he says to me, he goes, so brother, man, why did you go home? Your family was there, everything. Why didn't you guys just go out and fight your way back to the locker room instead of just getting beat in front of your family? And that's when I told him about the bookings, and he goes, how long have you been in the business? A year or two? What? I said, oh, no. I've been in the business maybe a month. He goes, what? I said, yeah, I've been in the business a month, and I, you know, I've had two matches. And he said to me, wait a minute. Who taught you how to do one punch across the back and then flex? Because back then, I was in very good shape. The first wrestler that came out, not Pro Wrestling Illustrated, but the first wrestler that came out, I was in it, and it said I looked like a young Ultimate Warrior. So I was gassed up, you know, I was looking healthy. And Jimmy said to me these exact words. He said to me, brother, I've been in this business almost 30 years. He said, and I have never been fooled before. And you fooled me.
Wow.
I said, what do you mean, Jimmy? I wasn't looking to fool you about nothing or lie to you. He goes, no, relax. He said, it takes years for someone to learn how to stay calm and to hit somebody once and let them sell and just walk over very, very slow and grab them by their hair and look at the people and show the pain that you're doing grabbing your hair and then rolling back the arm and asking everybody, do you see this? And whammo! One time, not 20 punches, but one. I said, well, I grew up watching superstar Billy Graham, and then Don Morocco, and then you. And he said to me, all right, look, between you knowing everybody, me meeting you in Hawaii with Siva and King Curtis and Don, and you bringing me all this stuff, you fooling me, I got no choice now. I gotta take you with me. And I'm like, what? Now, remember, Jimmy was the biggest name in the business at this point. Just came off of Vince's TV for the second time. You know, he just put over The Undertaker to get him started, you know, pass the torch a little bit. But still, Jimmy was hot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was hot. He was hot. And he was main event. It was over at, you know, main event. And PCW sold out. And this is when they went from Eastern Championship Wrestling right to ECW, and Jimmy went all the way with their hardcore crap, you know. So it was amazing that Jimmy did that, and the next thing you know, he says to me, here, he says, call this number. Now, I didn't know Jimmy couldn't read, but because he was this very intelligent guy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, call this number. He said, he's got five shows. Call him up. Tell him I want to talk to him. He says, and I'm going to tell you, I don't talk to these promoters. My wife does it. I never talk to the promoters. I said, okay, Jimmy, no problem. So I call this number, who turns out to be Angelo Siboldi.
There you go.
And I said, I have Jimmy Snuka here on the line, sir. Can I put you on with him, please? He said, yes, sir. And put him on the phone. This is exactly what the conversation went like. You ready?
Yeah, yeah.
He says, Siboldi. Snuka, look, I got this kid. He's going to bring me into the gym, take me to the hotel. You don't have to worry about anything. Put him with me and put him on all five. All five. put him with me. Savoldi went, okay, Jimmy. He said, thank you. Hung up the phone.
That's fucking
and
amazing.
Jimmy looked at me and he goes, done. I just swallowed a grand piano. And I just swallowed a grand piano. All my friends at home, if they could see this conversation, they would have shit themselves because they knew who Jimmy Snuka was. They knew how big he was. We all went to the Garden together to see him do the Cage. So we all were very in tune as to what the hell was going on in wrestling, you know?
That's just amazing.
Can you imagine? It's your third week in the business. Yeah, I was in Hawaii for maybe 2 months, but you don't count that. You can't count that. I was only had two matches, then one match, and then the one angle, and then that's it. So that's all I did, but I could talk good, and I looked healthy, and I had a good character costume with the face paint, and it looked kind of like Ultimate Warrior, but different because I was wearing motorcycle boots that were all the way up to the knees, you know, instead of like now with the kick pads and all that, you know, I had the motorcycle boots, and, you know, everything was black and pink back then because Bret Hart, you know,
yeah,
so
of
I had
course.
Like this, I took like a Jimmy Snuka Tiger theme, but it was hot black, black and hot pink, and a little touch of blue and yellow, and, you know, kind of had the beefcake armbands and, you know, face paint, you know, blown out hair, you know, like the Ultimate Warrior, but different.
Yeah, but that's just crazy, Mr. Metal Maniac. What'd you say? Was it just a handful of weeks and then, like, it just still boggles my mind. Like, I know the story, but it's still just incredible. Like, you must have just been, like on cloud nine when this happens.
Yeah, it's more like, you know, it's more like that moment where, you know, you're doing you know what with marrying her five figures. And then that every moment, take that moment and loop it. And that's the feeling because you are with the greatest. And you're, Hulk Hogan was always great, but wasn't the greatest. Because in my mind, he wasn't the greatest. He was great. He wasn't the greatest. Jimmy was the greatest in my mind. And Don was like the next greatest, all in that great category, you know. Hulk Hogan was great. He just wasn't the greatest because he didn't fly like that. And don't forget, I hated Bob Backlund. This is before Hulk Hogan was a babyface and prayers and vitamins and all that. The Rocky movie hadn't hit, and I really did not register Hulk Hogan as people, you know, did later on, you know, so it was just all about, you know, Jimmy. And my goodness me, I mean, can you imagine you're in the business 3 weeks? Oh, and by the way, guess who was my roommate the first night I got the ECW when I did that angle with Jimmy? Guess who my roommate was?
I'm
Tito Santana.
Nope.
Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Bill Apter.
Oh.
Wow, that's crazy.
Bill Apter.
Yeah, because if I remember if I remember right, Apter was there for all those shows in the early ECW.
You're damn straight. And this was the thing. Bill Apter took a liking to me because we were talking about this story. And I told him the same story I told you. And he's a nice Jewish boy. He says, you're going to be in every magazine going. I say, how can you manage that? He goes, don't worry about it. I can manage it.
That's amazing.
Sure enough, I'm in every magazine. I'm in the Pro Wrestling Illustrated. I'm in the First Almanac. I'm in the Who's Who. I'm in the Top 500. I'm in the Wrestler. I mean, I get the introducing file, which guys wait years for. Oh, but wait. This is the story. So it's Bill after, but he tells me this, but the following Monday, after I talked to Jimmy on Saturday, the following Monday, Bill After doesn't notice, but I'm driving out to London Publishing in Long Island. And I go in to the main lobby, put my gear on, and I go up to his office. And I'm asking for Bill After. I said, just tell him I'm friends with King Curtis and Don Morocco. Here he comes. He goes, how you doing, Daddy? He sounded like he was like doing his Dusty Rhodes routine. How you doing, brother, Daddy? How you doing? You see, he's like, what'd you come up here just like a clown for? I said, hey, Don Morocco said I can come get some pictures taken. He said, just show up and tell him, take some pictures. So that's what I'm doing. He goes, come with me, Daddy. Come with me. Make you a superstar. And he takes me in, and he's got this room all set up. And chicka-chicka-chicka-chicka-chicka-chicka-chicka-chicka-chicka-chicka. And the next thing you know, man, it's from the time Bill would take a picture to the time it would be on the stands was 6 weeks.
That's amazing.
And I was in Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Top 500 that was just coming out at 492. They put me in 492, which is awfully nice. And then they put me on all the ads in pro wrestling with Hulk Hogan next to each other said, this new magazine, The Wrestler's coming out with Hulk Hogan. Then it said, this another magazine, The Best Heels You've Never Heard Of. And Sabu was number one and I was number two. And I was in like ads. And then he's got a 3-page article on me. Black and white, color, this, that. He had me everywhere. If I was in the ratings or I was in a one-liner, I was in a picture with a caption. I mean, he just went all out. All out for 12 full years. He just went out full on. So between Jimmy and Bill After, in the same weekend. And the next thing you know, I'm booked on all those Cerroldi shows. And, you know, George Napolitano was there. He liked me. He started taking pictures of me. And Bill was there taking pictures. And they were kind of competing about, you know, who could get the better shots of me. And it was really started to pick up. I mean, it was crazy. And, you know, I was booking myself and Jimmy was booking himself, but if he was coming in, hey, we had an extra room at the house. So I said, Jimmy, why don't you fly all the way home or fly back? Why don't you save that money and stay here? We'll go together. And then when it is time for you to go home, I'll go back to Hawaii. He goes, really? I go, yeah, come to the house, man. Check it out. So my mom was like, listen, don't even worry about it. I'll go stay at your aunt's house. She's got this monstrosity house. I'll go stay over there and go to work from there, you know, and when you guys are in, then when you guys leave, I'll come back to the house for those 2 weeks. You know, so she was cool about it, and we were a team, and, you know, Jimmy sat with my mother and her sister and my cousins, my uncles, sat with everybody, and he said, this is, you know, the kid's willing to help me, and I'm willing to help him. We're going to work together, I'm going to teach him, and I'm going to do everything in my power to help him. And where it leads, it's all up to him. I can only bring him to the water. I can't make him drink.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all up to him. But he has the opportunity of a lifetime because, like with me, he told my mom and my family that, you know, there were guys who found Jimmy, who saw him, and said, you belong in wrestling. Forget the bodybuilding. Those assholes will never let you in because, you know, they're going to be jealous of you, so just come to wrestling. And that's what happened to him. So he just can't. He told me, his words to my face were, hey, you know, I got to help you. And that's where it started. That's how it started, brother. And from there, it was I mean, it just kept getting snowballed and snowballed to a point where, you know, Jimmy started telling these guys, hey, he's coming with me. This is how it is going to be. You know, and I'd carry Jimmy's bag. But I carried Jimmy's bag because I knew from the music business, you know, you always, you know, if you somebody like Tommy Shaw, I'd say, hey, Tommy, let me take that for you, man. Had nothing to do with being a roadie or nothing. It had to do with us being friends and being respectful, you know, because I was working for a company that was working for him. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I took his bag. And he never looked at me like a piece of shit. He looked at me as a decent person trying to do the right thing. So I just grabbed Jimmy's bag. Well, when Jimmy seen that in wrestling, that's a big deal.
Yeah, of course.
And the old timers know. It's not, hey, kid, you're a piece of shit. Take my bag. It's, hey, kid, thanks for carrying my bag. That's very respectful of you without being told to. Mondo Guerrero said to me, he was my third, like, I think it was on a third match. And he said, hey, I see what you're doing here, kid, carrying Jimmy's bag. He says, you know, you got a lot of respect for our business because I could tell from the way you talk, you know, that you got respect for people who came before you. And so you know. And so that's why you're carrying the bag. And that is to be respectful. You're not just some Mark carrying his bag. I mean, you really, really watching out for the brother. He's really watching out for you. Now, I didn't really know. Jimmy didn't know how to read yet. I didn't know that Jimmy was illiterate in that way. But he was as smart as he was very smart because he understood the business better than anybody, you know, and he understood the ups and downs, you know, of stuff. So it was, I got to go back to the thing that I was saying. That whole thing that happened in 2-3 weeks was like swallowing a grand piano, just breathing it in. I mean, can you imagine your main?
No, that's why I had such a problem, like trying to put it into words earlier, because, like you said, it's just such a whirlwind. I mean, you know, you go from literally 3 weeks to you're going out to London Publishing and you're doing photo shoots with Bill Apter and you're getting published in magazines alongside, like you said, like Hulk Hogan and stars like that. It's just insane how quickly it took off.
If he says he's going to take me on the road with him. I mean, him saying he's going to take me on the road wherever he goes, I'm going.
That's just amazing the way you guys took to each other like that. I mean, that's something special. I don't think that really happens anymore in wrestling.
Well, no, I don't think so either. I think that there aren't many Jimmys left. There are some, you know, like Too Cold Scorpio is like a Jimmy who can go all day, do all those moves. Has so much to give, so much talent, you know. And but then again, you know, these kids, I mean, I've met a lot of kids this last year and a half who are excellent talent. Some are know-it-alls. You can't tell them anything. Some believe that old school is dead. And I keep trying to tell them that, hey, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, if you guys think you're going to work for Triple H, he's old school, so if you're not, you're fucked. You ain't getting a job.
Yeah, pretty much.
You guys better learn how to be old school because Triple H has got his hands in everything. I said, and if he don't like you or if he don't see respect in you, you're not going to be there for more than 5 minutes. I'm going to tell you right now, he'll smell it right off of you. I'm like, so I tried to tell some of these kids who have talent, but they don't listen. And then, you know, some of the kids that, like, you know, let's say, for example, the Hasidic Outlaw, you know, what's his name? What's his gimmick name? What do you call it? You know what I'm talking about. The kid that comes out with the giant Russian Jewish hat.
Yes.
Oi, 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 oi.
Yeah. Do you remember who it is?
Class. I don't know who trained him.
He got it.
He's an excellent worker. And he's a good kid and he's willing to listen to people who are older and have more psychology experience. You know, it's not that they're going to teach him how to do great moves, but he knows how to do the moves. The problem is, moves don't mean shit. It's all about psychology. Nowadays, it's all about the move.
Which is unfortunate.
The only problem is that's the reason why their ratings are down. You know, you've watched one match, two matches. By the third match, you've seen every move. And the next thing you know, you've changed the channel to reruns of Frasier. So, and I mean it. So, you know, that's where the business is. I mean, that's the reason why.
Yeah.
When you have writers who've never taken a bump writing, you know, writing stuff for guys with one wrestler in there.
Yeah.
Or should I say one guy who thinks he's a wrestler but isn't and talks a good talk, but I don't even want to mention his name. But it was got worse for Vince. I mean, you know, he's full of shit. Always was full of shit. Ran a bunch of businesses into the ground and ended up working for Todd Gordon and ended up working for the biggest company in the world. The pain in the ass is still fucking there. He's like the wart that just won't go away.
Yeah. Met a few of them in my time.
And that's what you get.
Listen, Maniac, we're up against the... We're up against the end of the show here, but I definitely want to have you back on because I feel like we haven't really gotten that far at all. I mean, we've just pretty much touched on your first 3 weeks in the business, but before we let you go, is there anything that you want to get out there? I mean, anywhere people can reach you if they want to follow you, say on like on Facebook, anything like that?
Sure. It's Jeff Miller, the Metal Maniac. You can go there or you can go to the Metal Maniac fan page. And I'm not the administrator of that, but if you go to mine, I can log, you know, turn you on to mine, and then you can friend that one, and then the administrator within a day will pop you in. And I'm posting stuff every day, different stuff of Hawaii, of old matches back in 2004, back in the early 90s. There's all different kinds of stuff on there, and they can reach out to me and whatever. I'm working on a book right now. My Life with the Superfly. And it's not really a story about Jimmy. It's so much about a story about my life with Jimmy from that angle. Nothing to do with anything in the 80s because I wasn't around in the 80s. All had to do with, you know, when ECW went from Eastern Championship Wrestling to Extreme Championship Wrestling and on. And things like that story we just talked about. And so the mental pictures you get from that. And plus I have all the pictures from back then. I have all the illustrations. And I have all the footnotes. And I have all the permissions to use these pictures.
That's
stuff that
amazing.
I have not posted.
That's pretty cool.
Stuff that people are going to find interesting.
That sounds amazing.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, let's stay in touch because, brother, I got stories from the Middle East. Oh, curl your toes, Daddy. The Graysons touched on it. The Graysons touched on it the last time when I watched it. And when they mentioned, if you go onto YouTube and you put in ECPW Hall of Fame, 2015 Metal Maniac, and it will come up. There's a picture of Jimmy in a suit, and by then he had cancer withdrawn.
Yeah,
but he inducted me into the Hall of Fame, and you can hear the story that they were talking about, and it's really an interesting story. It's definitely worth every minute of listening, and you know, let's do this. You know, maybe we can have a, you know, maybe we can get together on the radio here and get together once a month, maybe, and just talk about some of these stories. And if you guys, you know, like I said, they were talking about it, maybe you can go look at it. And I'm positive you'll find it very interesting and knowledgeable and fun, and definitely I do a funny act, you know, so it's a lot of fun. It's like a stand-up comedian act, but it's very fun.
That sounds
all true.
That sounds awesome.
But, you know, I want to thank you guys for letting me come on, brothers, man. Brother Daddy, Daddy Brother, it's the Metal Maniac and the Pinnacle Professional Wrestling right here where it all started in the Hawaiian Islands from Peter Maivia all the way up to the Rock and back. So, you know, this is where a lot of talent came out of. And I'm proud to say I came through that doorway too. And so, you know, I'm just glad. I'm happy for you guys that you're doing so good. And, you know, I've seen the Graces. You know, I love them. They're the Mishpucha.
Those are our boys.
And they're good kids. Excellent talent. And, man, one day those guys are going to be something.
Of course.
Those guys are going to be something. Guaranteed. 5 years from now, guaranteed, probably biggest tag team in the world. Guaranteed.
Nice. High praise.
Thank you again, brother. Listen, we'll be in touch, okay?
Hey, and don't forget, if you ever see Dan the Man, tell him Team for Shizzle.
Definitely.
He'll love it.
You got it. Have a great afternoon, Maniac. Thanks for joining us. Take care, brother.
Aloha, brother.
Aloha to you, sir. Take care. The Metal Maniac. That took me back to an old time in the Shining Wizards history.
Sorry, who was that again?
I love guests where, like, you just give them one direction and they just go, man. I could, honestly, if I had the time, I would listen to him for fucking days, dude. And he's writing a book. That sounds amazing.
He just wrote it. We just got the audio version.
That's chapter one, brother. Chapter one, brother daddy. No, he's a cool dude.
He definitely is.
But you know what, dude? He's old school.
He's seen it. I'm not gonna take anything away from the guy.
You know what it harkens back to?
Harkens.
The rides.
Kurt Hawkins.
Yeah, Kurt Hawkins. There you go. Another name for the episode. Wait, what was the other one? Quebecers of the Pierre. wouldn't be the first time Pierre made it to the title of the show. No, it goes back to like the old school car ride days where you just sit there and just listen to the veterans because they've got a story to tell.
I mean, I get that. And we're spoiled nowadays where we want everything so quick and we want it done fast and all this stuff. But
hey, man, you know what? We had Scotty Riggs on back in the day for like 4 hours. And you know what? I'd say 2.5 hours of that was really good stuff. And an hour and a half was a lot of repeats, but we didn't get that tonight with Metal Maniac, man. I enjoy shit like that.
You got to
really
sign
do.
Off the rant or what?
Yeah, I guess we kind of do. Stay tuned. You want? Oh, get out your plugs. Kevin Grifo plugs real quick.
Kevin Grifo plugs. Oh, my God. I was better with the wrestling plugs.
Tierney's.
No. Oh, yeah. August 5th, Tierney's back again in Montclair. August 9th at the Town Tavern in Bloomfield. This Thursday, I'll be heading in the city at UCB. UCB East, KP Burke will be performing. I'm going to be tagging along, so if you want to buy me a drink, there's that.
Hey-o!
That's it. That's all I got.
All right. Sorry, we kind of went a minute over. Stay tuned. You're on rantemradio.com. The rant is coming up next. And I guess stick around for a minute. We'll do the last couple of closing things, and we'll be out of here.
That's right.
Good night to the rant. See you later.
Bye, rant.
Drew's going to get so mad that we keep going overtime.
We never go overtime.
Well, it's like 9:01 kind of in rant world doing this live on a Tuesday. Yeah, that's the weird thing. It's like 2 in the afternoon over there, so.
That has nothing to do with us.
No, but Mr. Metal Maniac, that's why, dude. It's like 3 o'clock now. Like, he's got all afternoon. He's probably sitting on the beach smoking a doob.
God, man, how much pot do you think that guy has smoked in his life?
The funny thing was, I listened to the 605 Super Podcast, and I forget who the guest was. It might have been Jerry Gray. He was talking about his time in Hawaii, and it was a little before Jeff went there. I'm sorry, Metal Maniac, kayfabe. And he was there when Bruiser Brody was there, and somebody put up to him to go ask Peter Maivia where they could score some weed. And he didn't know, so he went up to him, and the high chief was with someone. Or maybe it was King Curtis. It was King Curtis, I think. And he went up to him, and he was standing next to the chief of police. He's like, brother, we don't do that anymore.
Oh, man.
Like, totally fucking sold him out. And then Brody found out about it. He thought it was the greatest thing ever. He's like, you got some balls on you, kid.
Listen, he's old, like you said, he's old school, man.
Definitely.
They are changing.
There was so much, dude, like you saw the page. I have so much that I wanted to ask him, and it was just like, you know what, man? I want to hear the story anyway. Let's go for it.
All right.
You all right?
I'm fine. It was just.
No, I get it.
It was long, man.
But the thing is, you don't need to engage him. I told you, you just set him off on the path. And
that was a whole half of the show.
Yeah.
All right.
We've done that before.
All right.
We don't do it too often, but we've done that before.
Listen, actually, I do have a whole lot of respect for Jeff. He's actually a friend of...
Oh, he's a cool guy. We're just breaking his fucking
No, of course. No, obviously, it's what we do. But he's, like I said in the past when he joined us on your birthday show.
Matt's birthday show. Fucking 10 months ago almost.
Is that my best friend since I was 5 years old, that is her cousin.
That's awesome.
Related to my
So Kevin's
friend.
Related to the Metal Mania.
I'm not related to the Metal
When are you
Mania.
Going out to Hawaii to go hang out with your cousin?
God, I was thinking about it before that whole volcano nonsense happened.
You know, we didn't even get to ask him about that. He had some great footage of, like, fucking explosions
Does he live on the Big Island?
I don't know if he's close to it. I don't know, to be honest with you.
It is. Well, I mean, there's all the island that that big-ass volcano is called the Big Island.
Yeah, that's the island of Hawaii.
All right.
The Big Island.
Hey, you know,
I mean, the one that everybody...
We got to make try to seem smarter than me.
No, the one that everyone knows is
I mean,
Oahu.
You are smarter than me, but...
Oahu is where Honolulu is. That's sure. Where people get messed up. Because when you hear Hawaii, there's the island of Hawaii, which is the Big Island.
Yes.
Right? And then there's Kauai. Sure. There's Maui. Maui's gorgeous.
What is the Big Island?
That's Hawaii. Alex. Right? What?
For 500.
What?
That's right.
Oh, and by the way, I pulled it up. I forgot to mention to him. It was Derek Domino, who was the other member of the Misfits. It was Harley Lewis, Derek Domino, and a name you might remember.
Jerry Only.
Lupus. I don't remember Lupus.
Is it Lupus?
Lupus was the guy that they added on to. Matter of fact, I forget what show. I think it was at an NWA New Jersey show back in. Oh, no. It was an SSCW show. They had a five-way scramble, and Lupus fucking ate it hard off the top rope, and I think they took him out on a stretcher.
All right.
Bad times, man. Bad times.
Bad times for Lupus. That should be the name of the show. Bad times for Lupus.
I actually got a kick out of the Misfits. I saw them in, I want to say, Munaki. It was one of the towns around there. Maybe it was Teterboro. Yes, it was Teterboro. It was the Misfits defending the NWA New Jersey tag belts against Team Extreme, which was...
Eddie and...
No, Ace Darling and Devin... Ace Darling and Devin Storm, but close.
Yes, I know Team Extreme obviously was Ace Darling.
They didn't wrestle in their pajamas, though, unlike Eddie and a Quadro.
The professor.
Shit. We named an episode after him, and he got in trouble with his principal. But he doesn't work at that school anymore anyway, so it's all good. Is there anything else that we need to mention, or are we going to get the fuck out of here?
A couple things that I want to run by. It seems like it's all but certain that Matt Riddle, former guest of the show, will be signing with WWE.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a good thing?
That's a good thing for him.
Yeah.
He was pulled from Pro Wrestling Guerrilla out in SummerSlam weekend. He was pulled from another... Or I'm not sure if that was SummerSlam weekend. I know he was pulled from a show SummerSlam weekend.
Now, is he a guy that's going to go to NXT? Or is he
yes.
Going, really?
Well, here's the thing. I kind of jumped the shark a little bit because there's also reports that New Japan has some serious, serious interest in using him full-time for their USA shows. So, and I guess it's now just going to – I mean, from what I've read, it's one of the two, but more so WWE. And they've had an interest in him for a long time. So it would only make sense that he would head their way. But New Japan has shown a lot of interest as well. So from what I gather from the old news sites, Riddle will be heading to WWE or New Japan.
It's crazy.
It's nuts.
He's a fucking star, dude. Like, I knew it the first time I saw him, like, you know, because I used to
commentate. Super cool guy. I mean,
Real chill.
When we had him on the show, when we met him in person, he's just a great guy.
And you know what was cool?
Genuinely nice guy.
He, at one point, he was the WWN champion and the Progress Atlas champion.
Yes.
So, dude, I actually got to see the Progress belt. Like, I was holding it. Like, I took pictures of it. It was cool as shit. Just, you know, because I'm a belt mark.
No, we're belt guys, obviously. But, yeah, there's that. Let's see. What else? There was some other stuff that I wanted to touch on here. La-la-la-la. What else do I got? Oh, Brian Christopher.
Arrested again. I didn't catch what happened, though.
It's DUI.
Oh, brother.
Which is why I Uber to the podcast now.
Wait, did you Uber to
No, me? No. Never got one. I just Ubered to preventive defense.
No, I was going to say, because you really haven't been drinking today.
No. It's my
Today's like a chill day.
Two T's, that's right.
Kind of surprised with all the stories we're hearing. You want to have another drink.
According to the report via TMZ, authorities observed Christopher speeding and swerving around 1 a.m., they attempted to pull him over, but Lawler failed to stop. He finally stopped, and according to the police report, Christopher reeked of booze and had an open 12-ounce container.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, kind of stupid.
In the car's center console. If you're just begging for it at that point.
Let me ask you a question. Did you hear what's going on in Parsippany?
I heard there's some news and notes from Parsippany. Parsippanews.
Parsippany, one of the top 25 places to live in the country, which is why Matt lives there.
That's right.
There's a black bear terrorizing the neighborhood.
Ah, see, I forgot about this.
Oh, so you didn't hear about it. Apparently, they've been telling people to be careful because this black bear is pretty vicious. But from what I understand, he's only looking for one individual.
And is this black bear a former Bellator fighter?
Well... He said he's defending the honor of his friend Bobby Lashley, and he's looking for that redneck racist prick Matt.
That's what it is.
Because he said, if one of us ain't going to come get you, I will.
All right. This bit died on the table.
How's that wacky news, Matt?
Bit died on the table. Nobody
and with
gets,
that, the
nobody
show's
gets
over.
This. Nobody gets this.
Whatever. Fuck him. I did that just to piss him off, and I hope he fucking hangs himself tonight.
Whoa!
Love you, Matt.
Love you, buddy.
That'd be two wizards we lost.
We got three.
On the show.
I got three weeks of shows with him, and
I know. And coming soon, Baza 4.
Oh boy, Bazamania.
Yeah, fucking Bazamania is going to be running mild in Europe.
Ooh.
Shit. Yes, I will be on hiatus. The next time you hear my voice, I'll be on the terrace somewhere in the north of Spain. And the next time you hear Kevin and Matt, you'll be listening to Casey Catal, and some other douche.
Whoa! Oh,
sorry. Sorry, what's the young
Brandon
man?
Brandon Kirk, dude.
Why? Brandon Kirk. He's a fine young man. I'm just being
a dick. Brian. Wait, hold on. No. No, it's definitely Brandon Kirk, but you always get... Because there's... No, it's 100% Brandon Kirk. It's 100, I know for a fact it's 100% Brandon Kirk.
The fuck are you talking about?
Damn it. It's Brandon Kirk.
Let me see.
Because you ever heard of, like, Brian Kirk and, like, there's, like, the band, like, Brian Kirk and the Jerk? So, like, you always get, like, confused...
Jack and the Mehoffs. All right, we're done.
We're done.
Nothing else?
That's it.
All right, I got a quick song for us to go out on tonight. So it's been a two-man group. It's been real. See you next week. Or next. See you next Tuesday. Waka waka.
Let's see. One chance, one goal, and you fucked up, Shockmaster. One chance, one goal. Come on, you want a piece of me? You want a piece of me? Come and get me. Come after me, Sid. I'm ready. Along with Davey Boy, Sting, and Dusty Rhodes, we'll see you at the Fall Brawl.
One chance.